Mind the Gap, Please, Part 2. It's amazing how far the English language can take you, even in the remotest corners of the world. However, it's a gesture of respect to learn at least a few local words and phrases, even though if it's only to ask the location of a WC. I found the phrase, "Where's the bloody dunny, mate?" extremely useful when I was in the outback beyond Cairns. The Spanish I learned from watching westerns in my youth served me well when I was travelling on a stagecoach from Durango to Mazatlan in Mexico. Someone actually began a question to me with the words, "Hey, gringo!" But now that I'm older and wiser, I take a relevant phrase book and a mini dictionary. Plus, I practice sentences in the local languages so that I am at least able to ask the location of a vegetarian restaurant so that my wife is not left to starve. The Volunteer Trail. I've no intention for this to be a guide to suitable organisations whose aim in life is to recruit volunteers to build mission schools in darkest Africa or to muck out orphans in Bucharest. These charitable organisations are brilliant at recruiting helpers, and if this is your bag, then they will take you under their wing and will in all probability arrange your flight and accommodation, albeit in some cases somewhat meagre. Some of them will even pay you a sort of subsistence allowance and feed you. I feel that you should avoid any temptation to become an aid worker in Iraq at this particular time. I will, however, float a few ideas that I've picked up along the way, especially with a more mature traveller in mind who will have life skills to offer. My son's father-in-law, a country town GP, took a sabbatical from his practice and took off for Afghanistan to give his services as a medic with the Landmine Trust to the Mujahideen and anyone else who needed his help. That was before Osama bin Laden, just after the USSR's trial run at Empire Building. The country hasn't been the same since his visit. It cannot be emphasised enough that commitment, no matter how fervent, is not enough to work in an aid project in the developing world. You must normally be able to offer some kind of useful training or skill, plus have overseas experience already. Unless, that is, you are prepared to fund yourself and don't mind that your efforts will be more of a token than of any lasting benefit. The main operational aid agencies such as Oxfam, Save the Children, UNICEF, World Health Organization, UNHCR, Department for International Development, CARE International, International Rescue Committee, and Handicap International do not use untrained volunteers. What those agencies are looking for in a first-time volunteer are a serious and proven track record, professional track record, good skills of people management and development, specific technical or other hard skills, ability to provide training and technical supervision in the above areas, a knowledge of a foreign language is a further advantage. This all sounds very daunting and off-putting, but don't be discouraged. A lot of the same agencies offer fee-paying volunteers the chance to experience life at the sharp end in developing countries by working alongside skilled aid workers and local people for a short period. I wholly commend this sort of gap year. You will gain more from it than you give. In fact, the more that you give, the more you will gain. I, however, have not done it or even researched it. These are professional charities who know more about organising aid volunteers, and I would not deem to give any more advice or even point you towards such organisations. Google it. You're going where? It's not my intention either that this should be a gazetteer of suitable destinations other than a passing reference. What I do intend is for this to be an experienced old travel writer helping you to avoid possible mistakes, pass on tips, and give as much helpful guidance as possible. Whether you're 18 or 55, you are going to learn quite a lot about yourself. Yes, even those who, like me, too old to die young. You will still learn independence and self-reliance, and you will learn to appreciate the people and things around you. That cannot be bad, just so long as you remember that there will be dragons out there. Maybe a few black bears and wild boars too. You will have to look after yourself when you are ill. You will have to live out of your backpack. You will also have to face up to every problem and decision that confronts you. However, life is like that anyway, a series of highs and lows. So why should travelling the world for your gap year be any different? Without doubt, you're going to learn a lot about the world, no matter where or how far you go. But even more certain is that you are going to learn even more about yourself. You might even find that you like your new self. Make no mistake, however, old or young you are, wherever you go to or how far you go, this will be a life-changing experience. I believe it was Billy Connolly who wrote, "We pass this way but once. There is no normal, and there is no such thing as normal. There is you, and there is the rest. There's now, and there's forever. Do as you damn well please." He may not have written that of his quote, but he certainly wasn't joking at that time. Proper planning prevents piss-poor performance. Have you decided where to go? If you still haven't decided, you need to do a lot of homework. Travel agents, libraries, look at pictures, take some brochures home, get a flavour of what's in store, look at photos of rapids, deserts, mountains, crocodiles, elephants, camels, Sydney Opera House, Graceland, the Grand Old Opry in Nashville, have a look at pictures of Table Mountain, Ayers Rock, the Rockies and the Grand Canyon, Route 66, the Great Divide, the Taj Mahal and Mount Everest. Surround yourself with pictures of the Inca Trail, paradise and people having fun. Don't forget to look at Bangkok, Beijing and Sumatra. It really is a big wide world out there and the choice is yours. However, only you can decide where to go. Get the adrenaline going because, as the walrus said, the time has come. It's make your mind up time. Special forces have a mantra that is worth adopting. It's 6 P's. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. They call it pea picking, and I commend it to you. 10 minutes of prior study can make such a difference to a well-planned trip. At this stage, you should know where you're going, when you're leaving, and how. You should have a good idea of how much it's going to cost. You will also have many other things buzzing around your head. Now is the time to get your notebook out again, and it's more pea-picking for you. Always look for a bargain. While carrying out your planning, it might be good to do some research to see how far your cash will go in any particular country. I've heard that nowadays in Rio de Janeiro is inflating quicker than a dead dog in the sun. A colourful description, but an obvious flag for the crafty traveller. The dollar or sterling in your pocket is going to buy you a lot more in Brazil, and there are many countries whose economies are worth serious consideration when you're pea-picking. But also consider that muggers and bandits thrive where the economy is poor and they can target rich Westerners. Compared with some, even an impecunious Western traveller will appear rich. I think it was the travel writer P.J. O'Rourke who quoted somebody who said, "I thought that I was poor because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." Well, you have shoes, even if they're only smelly trainers. Now, I read an absolute brilliant wheeze, so good it could have come from Billy Connolly. I'm sorry to keep quoting him. But on your way home, when you've had your break, somewhere between the luggage carousel and the arrivals lounge, stop in at the washroom and spray dye your hair magenta or some similar outrageous colour. strip down to a sleeveless vest and cover your arms and neck with several fake tattoos and some fake rings for your nose, ears and eyebrows. Your family will love the joke once your father has revived your mother from her faint. It would be even funnier if it were your 40-year-old daughter and your son-in-law who both burst into tears when they spotted you. However, everything you've heard are my thoughts from my research and experiences. Certainly some of my suggestions have not been tried and tested by me, so perhaps I should urge you to take them with a pinch of salt. The idea was to give you a flavour of taking time out from the daily grind. Any decisions that you should make must be of your own free will. If you choose to fall off a cliff, marry a lap dancer, or step under a bus during your travels, I take no responsibility for your actions. But when you get back, please don't forget, hair dyed magenta, fake tattoos, fake nuts and bolts, and earrings all over your body. This will cheer up your relatives no end. Thanks for listening.